This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 254 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. As I said last week, the next couple of podcasts are all about regression. I already looked at team-level regression, where I analyzed a number of different offenses that will likely look a little bit different this year, based on math alone. Today's show is all about negative regression on the player level, or look at a handful of players who basically played out of their freaking minds last season. We're looking at a lot of guys who probably helped you win some fantasy titles in 2018, but they're set to regress back to an average that makes a lot more sense. Before looking at those players, I wanted to send a reminder that FanDuel's teaming up with RotoGrinders for the annual MLB Single Entry Series. Over the next 5 weeks, they'll be running single entry contests with $64,000 in total bonus prizes. Each week, a new series begins, and your four best lineups from that week will count toward the total. The person with the best four lineups in a given week will earn a spot in the Single Entry Series Championship for a shot at a $10,000 grand prize, and the top four spots each week will all win bonus prizes. To get yourself entered in the Single Entry Series presented by RotoGrinders, go to FanDuel.com or download the FanDuel app. Eligibility restrictions apply. I feel like a negative regression podcast can't start without Patrick Mahomes. It's important to remember that negative regression doesn't mean bad. I don't view these players as bad at football, and you shouldn't assume a player who's being featured on today's show is set to be bad in 2019. That's not what this is about. This is about looking at what a player did last year and seeing if what that player did was sustainable. And for Patrick Mahomes, his 50 touchdown passes and 8.6% touchdown rate, which is touchdowns divided by attempts, those things are likely to not happen again in 2019. Those things may not happen again over the rest of his career. There's a reason only three players have ever had 50 or more passing touchdowns in a single season. It's very hard to do. There's also a reason that of the 12 individual quarterback seasons since 1980, where a quarterback had a touchdown rate at or above 8%, only one quarterback was able to appear on that list twice. That being Peyton Manning. And that's with a minimum of 200 pass attempts. It's because it's hard to do this. When the touchdown rate hovers the 4.5% to 5% range across football each year, it's hard to basically be almost twice as efficient at throwing touchdowns than the rest of the league. So when you are that much more efficient, we've got to assume regression is going to hit. That doesn't mean that Patrick Mahomes will be worse at playing football. Mahomes can actually get better for the Chiefs while still regressing in the touchdown column. We're just looking at math and what generally happens to players who do crazy things statistically. And at the end of the day, with fantasy football, stats are what matters. So what exactly does this mean for 2019 and Patrick Mahomes? Well, good quarterbacks will generally be better than average in the touchdown rate column. Like, Patrick Mahomes should still be a candidate to lead the NFL in passing touchdowns this year. But at what cost? Here's the thing, for a quarterback to really be a difference maker in fantasy football, he generally needs to have some sort of outlier season. So when you're getting someone like Patrick Mahomes fairly early in your fantasy draft, you're sort of banking on that outlier season happening. You're banking on somewhat of a repeat performance. All the while, there are plenty of later round options who are legitimate candidates to have outlier seasons. Not that we can predict outliers, but there are players who have the tools to be really good, all while having really good pass catching options. Carson Wentz comes to mind. So I won't be drafting Patrick Mahomes this year. I have him as my QB1 because there's a chance that he really just is that good of a player and he can maintain a touchdown total in the high 30s year over year. But with regression most definitely hitting Patrick Mahomes this year, he's being overdrafted in fantasy drafts. Now, I've talked about Russell Wilson on this podcast this offseason quite a bit because he's also another quarterback set for some regression, and that makes him really scary for fantasy football purposes. Let's look at what happened with Wilson in 2018. He had an 8.2% touchdown rate, which was just 0.4 percentage points away from Patrick Mahomes. But all the while, he had 15 fewer touchdowns than Patrick Mahomes. Because the Seahawks ran the ball more than they threw it. That's why I featured the Seahawks on last week's team regression show. And as I said on that show, I do expect Seattle to be slightly more pass-heavy in 2019 than they were in 2018. That's what we've seen historically from teams who have been as run-heavy as the Seahawks were last season. But they're still projected to be one of the most run-friendly teams in football next year, and that doesn't bode well for Russell Wilson. Had Russell Wilson had his career average touchdown rate last season, which is 6%, he would have thrown fewer than 26 touchdown passes. That's at least 9 fewer passing touchdowns than he had last year, which equates to 54 fantasy points, or 3.4 fewer fantasy points per game. Russell Wilson was already QB12 last season in points per game at the position. Had he scored 3.4 fewer points per game, he would have been completely irrelevant. Now again, I think the Seahawks throw far more than they did last year. But even still, they won't throw the ball enough for him to be projected for close to the 35 touchdowns that he had last year. The one area for improvement with Wilson needs to come via the rushing column. That's the way that he becomes a QB1 in my opinion. The problem is, fewer passes means fewer scrambles. So there's going to be less rushing opportunity than we're used to seeing from Russell Wilson. According to Pro Football Focus, Wilson had 37 designed runs last season. That's nearly the same exact number that he's seen over the 2 years prior. He had 40 in 2017 and 37 in 2016. But last year, Wilson had just 67 rush attempts. He had 95 the year before that and 72 the year before that. 2 seasons ago in 2017, Wilson ran for almost 600 yards and he had 3 rushing touchdowns. That helped make him a very relevant fantasy asset. 2 years ago, he had just 1 rushing touchdown with 259 rushing yards. And that season, 2016, Wilson was 15th in points per game at the position, despite 546 pass attempts. It's because his touchdown rate was so low at 3.8%. So what I'm trying to say here is, Wilson's low rushing total combined with fewer pass attempts could create a situation where he's seriously just a streamer in fantasy football. It's why I don't see him as the upside player that others do. Tyler Lockett definitely benefited from Russell Wilson's big touchdown rate last year. You guys undoubtedly got sick of me talking about Lockett's touchdown regression last season. I know this because my Twitter mentions reflected it. I became a Tyler Lockett hater because I talked about his regression, which again, that's not what regression is all about. But let's not pretend that Tyler Lockett didn't see regression during the 2018 season. He scored once over his last 5 games, including the playoffs, after scoring 9 across his first 12. So in sum, Tyler Lockett ended up scoring 10 times in the regular season, despite seeing just 71 targets. So no, I don't expect Lockett to maintain that pace. He's not going to score a touchdown on every 7 targets this season. Among wide receivers who have had a season with 50 or more targets since 2011, only Jordy Nelson, James Jones, and actually Mike Williams from last year had a better targets per touchdown rate than Tyler Lockett in 2018. Nelson and Jones never scored at that rate again. And speaking of Mike Williams, he's another guy that I want to talk about here. Similar to Lockett, he scored way more touchdowns than he should have last season based on his targets total and his yards total. According to his 664 yards, if you look at the yards per touchdown rate of all wideouts since 2011, Williams should have had closer to 4 touchdowns last year when he had 10. Only Antonio Brown saw a larger gap between should-have touchdowns and actual touchdowns in 2018. And you can put Calvin Ridley in this category as well. Ridley had 10 touchdowns when his yards and targets total placed him closer to the 5 mark. But I'm grouping these players together on today's show for a reason. Each of them have an opportunity to see more volume in 2019. Doug Baldwin's out of Seattle, and when he was out last year, we did see a target share increase for Tyler Lockett. Mike Williams doesn't have to compete with Tyrell Williams. And Calvin Ridley's no longer a rookie. The way you offset regression in efficiency or touchdowns is with volume. Like, Tyler Lockett only had 70 targets last year. It's very possible for him to get closer to 100 in 2019. If that happens, in order to maintain his pace, he can sacrifice a few touchdowns. Here's the one thing to remember about these players, though. Despite scoring 10 times last year, Calvin Ridley was still a wide receiver 3 in PPR points per game. Tyler Lockett was a low-end wide receiver 2. Mike Williams was a wide receiver 4. It's really important to see a path to a ceiling with those guys if you're drafting them at their ADP. And by that, I mean with volume. It's easiest to see it with Tyler Lockett because he's obviously really talented and there's not much competition for targets in Seattle. And maybe Seattle's positive regression and pass to rush attempt ratio is stronger than we think. All of a sudden, Lockett becomes a 120 target guy. But it's not so easy to see that with Mike Williams and Calvin Ridley given Keenan Allen and Julio Jones are there. And while Tyrell Williams is out of the picture for the Chargers, Hunter Henry is coming back into that picture. According to my rankings, which are on numberfire.com for premium members, by the way, I have Lockett at wide receiver 21 in half PPR, Ridley at wide receiver 25, and Williams at wide receiver 29. On draft in the month of June, Lockett has an ADP of wide receiver 20, so one spot higher than my ranking. Ridley is at wide receiver 24, so also one spot ahead of my ranking. And Williams is at wide receiver 23, a good 6 spots ahead of where I have him. So I'm slightly lower on each guy heading into 2019. But the bottom line here is that each of those guys is fortunate, or fantasy managers are at least fortunate, that more volume can sort of cancel out the incoming regression. There's some correlation between a team's pass to rush attempt ratio and their ratio of how they scored touchdowns, so their pass to rush touchdown ratio. And last season, Pittsburgh was first in pass to rush attempt ratio by far, but they finished 10th in pass to rush touchdown ratio. And that helped James Conner do what he did in fantasy football. Aside from Alvin Kamara and Todd Gurley, Conner had the highest difference in should have touchdowns versus actual touchdowns based on his rushing yard total. He scored 5.4 more touchdowns on the ground than he should have. And a big part of that was due to his 17 goal line attempts, which was the third most in the league. So the touchdown total that he had might have been warranted given all the work that he saw at the goal line. But there could still be regression hitting there because of how the Steelers ran that offense and the fact that Conner didn't even play a full season last year and he still had that many goal line attempts. Now, from a projection standpoint, something like this may not matter a whole lot because the Steelers should be more run heavy this year. I think you have to question what will happen at the goal line for James Conner, though. Not only could the Steelers just naturally not feed him the way they did last year and feed him in sort of this disproportionate way, but with Jalen Samuels and now Benny Snell there, there's a little more downside with James Conner's touchdown potential. The upside is there to be a top five fantasy running back, but I have my worries with Conner's touchdown potential in 2019, especially if the Steelers aren't quite as effective offensively without Antonio Brown. James White scored a couple of more touchdowns than he should have last year based on how many yards that he had, but the real regression for White has to do with his receiving. Running backs don't score touchdowns very often through the air, but White had 7 of them last year. And with 751 receiving yards, that number really should have been closer to 3. Now, White did see 22 targets in the red zone. That's a top 10 number across the entire league, not just with running backs, but with all positions. He scored all 7 of his receiving touchdowns from that area of the field, though. And that's not something that's very sustainable. Just to give you some perspective, James White had a better red zone conversion rate than Antonio Brown, Michael Thomas, Zach Ertz, and Adam Thielen last year. That's just to name a few players. We actually saw a lot of regression hit James White last year in the receiving department. He scored just once over his final 12 games when you include the playoffs. Now, I don't think his ADP is totally crazy right now, but I do think that if you just take a look at what he did down the stretch, there's an argument to be made that he's overvalued. My projections currently have him as a fringe RB2 in PPR formats. I wanted to bring up Devontae Adams on the show today because all numbers point to him regressing in the touchdown column as well. But it's Devontae Adams. He has a history of scoring touchdowns at a higher rate than he should score them. He's got 3 straight seasons with double-digit scores. Well, here's the argument against that, or sort of against that. Adams is likely to have more touchdowns than normal because he'll see a lot of looks in the red zone. Last year, Adams led the NFL with 31 red zone targets. We've seen that throughout Aaron Rodgers' career, too. We've seen his top receivers get a lot of looks in that area of the field. Jordy Nelson had 32 red zone targets back in 2016. That was the third most that we've seen by a wideout since 2011. Both Nelson and Randall Cobb had more than 27 in 2014. And then in 2016 and 2017, Devontae Adams had 23 in each season. So Adams will have every opportunity in the world to score touchdowns. And with more opportunity comes more scoring. But guys, let's not pretend that Devontae Adams just did what he usually does in 2018. Let's not pretend his 2018 was just like his 2017 and 2016. Adams saw a huge increase in targets last year. He averaged well over 11 targets per game when in 2017, he had 8.4 targets per game. So he was seeing like 3 more targets per contest. And his touchdowns per target rate actually decreased pretty significantly versus his 2 previous seasons. He scored on every 13 targets last year, when from 2016 through 2017, he was scoring on every 10.8 targets. Now keep in mind, the average over the last 3 years for a wide receiver is a touchdown on every 21 targets. I don't think we know exactly what Devontae Adams' norm is when referencing touchdown scoring. I don't think we should just assume that he scores on every 13 targets, but it would also be kind of dumb to put him in the normal rate of scoring on every 21 targets when we know that he'll see a lot of looks in the red zone. So yes, on paper, Devontae Adams should regress in the touchdown column. He likely won't regress to a point where it matters a whole lot, though. Because number one, he's bound to see high leverage looks. But number two, he's now seeing and projected to see a pretty elite target share in that offense. He's currently my number 2 receiver behind DeAndre Hopkins, and I can't fault anyone for putting him number 1. Everything's there for another big year, even if there's slight regression. One of the more interesting players to project this season is Tariq Cohen. On one hand, he's a really good football player who's electric with the football in his hands. On the other, we should be worried about volume. About 18% of Chicago's pass attempts went Tariq Cohen's way last year. And now Allen Robinson is healthy, Anthony Miller is healthy, and they drafted David Montgomery. It's hard to imagine he's able to reach that type of target share again. But there's a little more to Tariq Cohen's downside than just volume. And it's not even really touchdown related, even though he did score more than he probably should have last year. Cohen also finished the year with over 7% of his rushes going for 20 or more yards. That was the best rate in football last year among all 50-plus attempt runners. We've actually only seen 11 instances of a rate that high since 2011, and none of the players on that list are repeats. In fact, of the 43 players with a rate of getting 20 or more yards that's at 5% or better, we only have two duplicates. Meaning, it's very, very hard to keep up that sort of pace of gaining those chunk plays. So what that means is that Cohen may have a harder time accumulating yards on the ground as he did in 2018, which, in turn, leads to less touchdown upside. And this is all combined with the fact that he's likely to see a lower target share in 2019. So I don't love Tariq Cohen at his average draft position this year for a multitude of reasons, despite really liking him as a player. Like Patrick Mahomes, I'm not sure that you can do a negative regression podcast without talking about Eric Ebron. Since 2011, tight ends have scored a touchdown on every 130.2 receiving yards. Obviously, some are better than that because they see better opportunity, but that's the average. Eric Ebron last season scored on every 57.7 receiving yards. We've had 8 seasons over this same period of time, so since 2011, where a tight end scored a touchdown for every 60 or fewer yards. One of those seasons is Eric Ebron. But of the other 7, the lowest rate of scoring the following year was a touchdown on every 79 receiving yards. And then meanwhile, 5 of the 7 scored a touchdown for every 100 plus yards. And I don't think it's enough to say, but Eric Ebron saw a lot of red zone targets, which is why he was so good. Like, sure, that's why Eric Ebron was good. But Zach Ertz converted 7 of his 27 red zone targets for touchdowns last year. Travis Kelce was 9 of 26. George Kittle was 2 of 19. Jared Cook was 3 for 15. You know what Eric Ebron was? He was 11 for 21. Like the wide receivers that I talked about earlier, the way for Eric Ebron to maintain and be as good as he was last year in fantasy football is for him to see more volume. And I've seen it argued before that this is why Eric Ebron has the price tag that he has in fantasy drafts. In June drafts, he's the tight end 8 over on draft. But I mean, are we sure he's even a lock to see close to the 110 targets again this year? Don't forget, Jack Doyle was getting more run than Eric Ebron was before he got hurt last season. And the team added Devin Funchess and Paris Campbell. It's hard to envision that volume really counteracting the regression. Now granted, Eric Ebron finishes tight end 4 last year and he's being drafted at tight end 8. But it's hard for me to get behind that right now, given the competition that's there and the touchdown regression that's likely to hit. I'd be way more comfortable shooting for a player like Vance McDonald or even David Njoku this year. And touchdown regression has a lot to do with it. There were 3 tight ends last year that were absolutely insane efficiency-wise. Everyone talks about 2 of them, George Kittle and OJ Howard. Kittle was a yards after the catch machine, and that pushed his yards per target rate north of 10 yards. OJ Howard's 11.8 yards per target rate was the highest in the league among tight ends. But then there was also Mark Andrews. He had a yards per target rate of 11, which was right behind OJ Howard among relevant tight ends. It's very unlikely that any of these players hit the double-digit yards per target rate again this year. Or I should say, it shouldn't be an expectation. OJ Howard's been insane. He's actually hit 11 yards per target in each of his first 2 seasons. And maybe that's his norm. But we shouldn't bank on something like that when we only have 12 other instances of a 30-plus target player hitting that mark since 2011. So let's assume there's a drop in efficiency with these players. Does it really matter? To me, not really. I like all 3 of those tight ends this year. I actually have Kittle as the tight end 2 in fantasy this year thanks to the positive touchdown regression that's likely to hit him. Like I just said a couple minutes ago, he had 19 red zone targets and he only scored twice in that area of the field. To have 5 touchdowns on nearly 1,400 receiving yards, it's kind of insane. With a better quarterback, that should look better. And OJ Howard is walking into volume. I won't repeat what I said in last week's mailbag show where I talked about Howard, but he's my tight end 4. And it's not because of efficiency. It's because volume trumps efficiency and Howard will see volume. The efficiency is just an added bonus. And Mark Andrews, to me, is a really interesting dart throw on a team that will likely be run-heavy, but it's one without a clear-cut top option. So even if the Ravens run the ball a whole lot, a large target share is possible for Mark Andrews, and that would make him pretty fantasy relevant. So yes, we should expect some efficiency regression with these tight ends, but it also shouldn't matter. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And you can follow me on Twitter @LateRoundQB. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'll talk to you later in the week with the Mailbag Show.